It all began in 1991. Since then, 180 theatrical productions, including 30 productions of Shakespeare's 38 plays, as well as musicals, world classics, contemporary comedies, dramas, and children's shows that have filled our hearts and minds, a gift to the region from the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival at DeSales University. The mission of PSF is to enrich, inspire, engage, and entertain the widest possible audience with a core commitment to the works of Shakespeare and other dramatists, both on stage and through an array of educational outreach and mentorship programs. Producing Artistic Director Patrick Mulcahy joins us this day along with Associate Artistic Director Extraordinaire Dennis Razzi to highlight this year's offerings and to invite us to join the festival's journey towards Vision 2030. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with the incomparable Patrick Mulcahy and Dennis Razzi. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's nice to be here.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
And we're excited about the upcoming season, which is, as usual, crammed full of exciting and daunting and professionally beautifully produced work.
Daunting, for sure.
Yeah, right. No, in the sense, it's interesting. You know, I think not for an audience, but Shakespeare for producers, for directors, for actors is the most happy of daunting. I mean, it's good, wonderful work. There's nothing like it.
Absolutely.
To work on and cut your teeth on and bring to life on stage.
Right. That's how we attract great artists, actually, is that everyone wants to do it. Mm-hmm. And people want to see it,
which is great. How you make great artists as well. I want to point it out.
There are times when we'll make an offer to an actor who maybe does some film or television, and their agent may or may not be interested in them, you know, spending time doing Shakespeare somewhere. Mm-hmm. And we'll make the case. This is how actors get better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Exactly. And in fact, it's interesting. We were talking a little bit before the show, Ragtime, which actually opens the season, is in a way, I mean, it's not Shakespeare, but we were talking about the film, which I had seen as a young woman, very affected by the great canvas of it, the great sprawling tale that it is of a sprawling time in our history, and how it tries to pull in beautifully so much. And there's something Shakespearean about that scope, I feel.
Yeah, you know, it's all based on E.L. Doctorow's 1975 novel, which, you know, some critics have called one of the best novels of the 20th century. And, you know, it was made into a film by Milos Forman, who recently passed away. And then, you know, after the film, they got the idea to turn it into a musical, and they kind of assembled a dream team, you know, to do it. Stephen Flaherty wrote the amazing score. I mean, I think it's one of the most amazing scores in the last 25 years of the musical theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's an embarrassment of riches, you know. Mm-hmm. Just when you thought you heard one wonderful melody and one, you know, great dramatic tune, it's followed by yet another. And it's, you know, very demanding of singers in a kind of Les Miserables way. And you're right, it is Shakespearean in scope. It's such a broad tapestry of, you know, different characters and different places. And I'm really hoping that the production, you know, will allow people to experience 1905 and the energy of that time, and all the, you know, different influences that were coming together, you know, to make, you know, what we now think of as America. That was kind of like, you know, a hotbed. And a lot of it, of course, was centered in New York City. And the outskirts of New York City, you know, we go to New Rochelle, New York, and Atlantic City, places like that in the musical. And we meet all these people from all over the world that have come together to, you know, go through Ellis Island and discover themselves and, you know, what it takes to be an American. So it's an amazing piece, and I'm like over the moon that I'm going to get to work on it.
I should point out to the listener that Dennis is the director, in fact, of Ragtime.
I'm going to try.
Yeah. And rehearsals start in late May,
Yep, May 22nd.
You're cast, are you not?
Yeah, we've been casting since January.
We've been in New York a lot.
Yeah.
And we have assembled a really extraordinary group of people. The folks who are in the leading roles have been all over Broadway in recent years, and some folks who would be recognizable voices from films as well. And so, in fact, one of the actresses was in the original production in a different role, and now is ready to play Emma Goldman. And she was
Evelyn Nesbitt in the original,
really? The original
1998
production.
Really?
Right, on Broadway. Wow. So.
And that opens June 13th.
Yes.
And plays through July 1st.
Indeed. Second.
First.
Am I wrong?
Okay. Let's do one more.
Yeah.
And I have to say, folks that are listening should get their tickets ASAP because, much like Evita last year, which Dennis also directed, I might add, it's expected to sell out very quickly.
Indeed.
With good reason. And again, I can't think of it. It's just an exciting way to kick off the season, ironically. Summer America, the Shakespeare Festival, and then into Twelfth Night, which is, Patrick, a beloved comedy.
Absolutely.
But with its own little bits of darkness and wry and sadness and all the wonderful things that he does.
Absolutely. And the director, Matt Pfeiffer, who's a wonderful director, who's won a bunch of awards in Philadelphia as a director, directs for us typically once a year now. He's made the remark that he tends to think that people don't always see all of the kind of beautiful, rich melancholy in Twelfth Night, and they don't necessarily always see all the humor in Hamlet. Mm-hmm. And these two plays were written at a similar time. And so he really sees that the play has all of that dimension, that these are really lost souls. And the comedy comes from sort of the extraordinary measures and how interesting these characters are, the extraordinary measures they go through to try to find connection and purpose and some kind of grounding and a place to be that is, is truly home to them. Mm. And in a way, the whole season... In each of the plays, you could say it's a season of outsiders almost, that in each of the plays there are characters who are trying to find their way into that fundamental, an experience of that fundamental human need we all have of belonging, of finding a place of connectivity. And of course, that's what the arts do, so it all comes together.
Yes.
I was going to say, I jumped right into looking at the pieces individually, but for the overall arc of the season, was that something that... Was that serendipity that started to emerge as you all looked at the pieces, or was that something that felt right this summer, or just...
Gee, I hate to give this away. I'd love to say that was a beautiful design, but serendipity is, let's go with serendipity. There's a mystery to this process, and when we get it all in front of us and we have a visceral sense and an intuitive sense that, oh, that's the season. That's because we go through a lot of different permutations of what a season could be. And usually the ways that we would describe the value come to us after. And this is one of those cases where we see, oh, look, there's this theme that's running through all of this.
Great. And that, of course, opens June
21st
through July 15th. And then we move on to Shakespeare in Love. And that's the Mark Norman and Tom Stoppard piece that Patrick
adapted for the stage.
Yes, right. It's funny that I get to do this because I 25 years ago, I wrote my MFA thesis on Tom Stoppard and directed a young Vera Farmiga in a production of The Real Thing, Stoppard's The Real Thing, another sort of backstage play, looking backstage. And when this film came out, I just thought, this is heaven sent. And everybody I knew in the theater felt the same way, just that this, what a wonderful idea this is. Mm-hmm. It's not at all the way it unfolded, really, but who cares? It's this sort of what if riff on how Shakespeare might have written, his great love tragedy, and it's a magnificent piece and really satisfying.
And it leads right into Twelfth Night.
Absolutely, putting those two together season is not accidental.
That.
Well, and it's interesting too. I didn't realize until doing some research for this that Shakespeare in Love was the most produced piece this season
in the country.
It's really caught people's hearts. I've known some friends that worked at other productions and just are smitten with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a passionate Valentine to the theater, too.
Absolutely. And there's a dog.
Oh, great.
There's a live dog. His name's Buddy, and you wait till you meet Buddy.
And then, of course, we move into King Richard II, and that's in July.
I would call this the Hamlet of history plays.
Ah.
Right, Richard II,
It's one we've always wanted to tackle. We've done Richard III.
Right.
But, you and I would talk about Richard II you know, hoping for the day, like, are we ready to do that? Are we ready to do it? And and we went for it this year, and we're really excited about that.
Why do you say the Hamlet of, I mean, I would take a guess, but why the Hamlet of history plays?
You know, Richard is a thinking deep soul in a way that could be compared to Hamlet. The way the human psyche, the landscape of the human psyche is explored is in a way similar to Hamlet as well. It ends just as well for him as it does in Hamlet.
True.
Oh, it is a tragedy.
Yes.
But we that can be a really nurturing experience for us to participate in a tragedy, because we really get to walk side by side with someone who maybe makes mistakes that we might also, you know, appreciate the opportunity to not make the same mistake.
Yes. Well, we're going to hear more about the PSF season. And also, it's called BHAG. I don't know how you say that, but it sounds like BHAG. And it's the Big Hairy Audacious Goal. It's very witty, very witty. And includes a challenge to the theater companies and to its patrons. Pursuing an exhilarating and inspiring vision, we shall return promptly to hear this exciting endeavor after this important message.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
We're chatting with Producing Artistic Director Patrick Mulcahy and with Associate Artistic Director Dennis Razzi about the season at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. Thank you much for being here, first of all. Can we continue with what we were talking about briefly, the season and the vision?
I was going to say, Richard, we were talking about Richard and Shakespeare in Love, but what we didn't mention is that they share something.
Yes, they're in rep.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're a cast.
And yeah, let me tie that into what you referred to as the BHAG, the Big Hairy Audacious Goal, which is a strategic planning language for what is that point on the horizon that you're trying to work towards that is so big that you might have a 60% chance of getting there over the arc of your planning cycle, but is big enough to motivate you to try to achieve extraordinary things. So yes, these two plays are in rep, which means that the same cast works on two plays at once in a rehearsal process that's longer than the usual rehearsal process to allow for that. And then we open one of the plays, and then we open the other one, and then they run one after the other in a rotation. So on a Tuesday night, it's one play. On a Wednesday night, it's the other. And by the time you get to the weekend, you could come see one at Saturday matinee, go to dinner, and come back and see the other one Saturday night. And it's the same actors wearing different costumes with a scenery change that's happened in a one-hour changeover in between.
Amazing.
And we shoot a video of it every year and put it in fast motion so you can watch the one-hour changeover of the scenery. But that's important for that's a reflection of our vision. We started in 2011 to produce a couple of plays a year in rep so that destination patrons can come to our theater, because we have two theaters operating at once, can come to the theater and see not only two plays but maybe three plays in a visit because they could put two plays together from one theater, one play together into a long weekend and have a fantastic time of this, you know, these rich offerings.
I was just thinking that's what a festival is in essence. In that sense, that's why. Yeah.
And the scale of our operation now, it's exciting that we've now reached a point where we are one of seven theaters on the continent where a destination patron could come in a summer and see three Shakespeare plays at one professional theater in a couple visits, and where they could come and see this range of offering from Shakespeare's to Broadway musicals to contemporary or classic comedies, et cetera, all in a couple of visits. So again, one of seven on the continent for that.
Wow. I think it's interesting sometimes when we would travel abroad, locals would say, you know, it takes a visitor to show us what we got here. We get so used to it, we take it for granted. And I don't know that sometimes the Valley realizes that quite enough. That's interesting, yeah. That we're that this is not just our wonderful festival, it's a major festival and growing.
Thank you for that. And the BHAG, which is a really clunky term, but it sort of lands the point, is a part of a larger vision, which is can be distilled down to three words, which is world-class work. That's the aim, is world-class work. And so we were speaking about Richard II recently, a moment ago, and we've hired an actor named Christian Coulson to play the role of Richard II. Christian played the role of Tom Riddle in the blockbuster film Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. So we've quite literally hired Lord Voldemort to play our Richard II. And it's fun to go back to watch that film and see his work in it and see the seeds of why he's a good Richard II in that film. Mm-hmm. Not only his facility with language that makes him, you know, a good candidate for doing a major role in a Shakespeare play, but all of the other dimension that he brought to that was a teaser, I think, for Richard II. Yeah. And even Richard II is a part of a larger process for us because Shakespeare wrote some history plays in cycles, and so the next play in that cycle is Henry IV, Part 1, and the next one after that is Henry IV, Part 2, and we look to do those in subsequent seasons so that our patrons can work their way through those history cycles.
Very good.
Make the journey. It's interesting because I don't think I've ever seen Richard II. No, I haven't, but it just also feels like in the context of the season, there's something about Richard himself. There's that mix of the... It's a glorious figure. It's a king, but there's something off and lonely, and it's a tragedy, as you said, Dennis, but that it's also a very human tragedy, very something intimate about it, oddly, in the heart of it.
Well, and this is Shakespeare's brilliance, I think, is we get to have that intimate, up-close experience with the psyche and the humanity of this king who has, you know, for whom some difficult things happen. And why is an interesting question, too, of what is a leader? Mm-hmm. And what do we expect of our leaders? And how do we choose our leaders? And how do we choose the next leader? You know, some of which could have contemporary overtones as well. But the, the play operates on every level in the wonderful way that only Shakespeare really does, which is to take us into every dimension of the human experience, sometimes multiple at once.
And Richard, like Hamlet, has some of the best soliloquies, I think, that Shakespeare ever wrote. I mean, he's a very poetic guy. And it's so wonderful to watch him, you know, have the ability to have the words, you know, to tell us about what's going through his mind. And he explores so many concepts in his language, you know, the nature of kingship, the nature of what it is to be human. He's so philosophical. Mm-hmm. And it just makes him endlessly, I think, fascinating as a character.
Mm-hmm. Some great quotes from the play, too.
Yeah. The Hollow Crown.
Right. Yes.
Which brings us to, ironically, extreme Shakespeare, but I just, it's not ironic actually, but one of my favorite elements of the festival, I know I say it every year, I'm sorry, All's Well That Ends Well will be the directorless piece, so
that's
to speak,
right.
This year.
That's right.
Revisiting a play that the festival did, it turns out, some years ago, as George reminded us since he was in the company. And there'll be some returning faces through, well, at least one. To that?
Yes, right, yeah. Right. So, first the extreme Shakespeare process, which is really an exciting way to bring an audience one step closer to the experience they might have had in an Elizabethan playhouse,
right.
Because the rehearsal process, the process of creating the production, is akin to what might have been done in Shakespeare's time, because they didn't have 3.5 weeks of rehearsal, and they didn't have designers and what we think of as a director. They had actors and a text and very little time. And so we've recreated that, which it's a great text, and we hire great actors. We put our best actors on these projects. Mm-hmm. And the actors arrive not 3.5 weeks early before opening, but 4.5 days before opening. They come in with their lines learned. They start with a full run-through of the play. That's the first thing they do, is get up on their feet and run the play.
Test it out.
The only appropriate emotional response to this process for an actor is fear. But they're great at their jobs, and this is, again, fairly close to what would have really happened before. They raid the costume shop, they raid the prop shop, they make all the staging decisions themselves. They steal, you know, production elements from other productions, and 4.5 days later they're in front of an audience. And the work is not only just as good as anything else we do, but it has this its own unique kind mm-hmm. of quality and mm-hmm. character to it. It has an electricity
yes,
to it.
Absolutely.
It has a sense of spontaneity to it, which is what we might have experienced 400 years ago.
And I bet you it goes very smoothly. I mean, in a way. Maybe not the first one, but I bet you it goes very smoothly because actors are so attuned to one another at a particular yes. time, especially when you know the script, you know your character, and everything kind of works together.
And adrenaline and fear create peak experiences.
Absolutely. That's true. Well, you know, I'll add that. When they arrive for that first day, I give a little 5-minute introduction. I'll add that to it. I'll say, this goes very smoothly, so don't worry.
And it's funny, you actually see that process in Shakespeare in Love.
Right.
You know, you watch the actors, you know, create Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
And create amongst themselves, you know, without truly a director and have, you know, issues that come up and they have to problem solve together. So the two go together very well this year.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that there's someone who will act in this production who was actually in the production we did 20 years ago, Jim Helsinger.
Right. Many
of our audience members will know who that is, but he is
a very funny guy.
Comedic genius. I remember we were watching a production he was in not too long ago. My wife and I were sitting together watching it, and afterwards she said, it's like every cell in his body is funny. He'll be playing the role of Parolles, which is the sort of braggart soldier fool in the play. And it's a really interesting play. I mean, that's the other beautiful thing about the hit, what we call internally the hit and run, the extreme Shakespeare, is it only runs for a couple of weeks. So we're not that worried about selling tickets because we always sell the tickets. And so, you know, it allows us to choose plays in the canon without worrying about how many tickets is it going to sell.
Right.
We can just pick a mm-hmm. great play and mm-hmm. give it to our audience.
Right.
Wonderful. I would like to mention very briefly Alice in Wonderland that runs June to August because it's so a wonderful production usually. The production for young people.
Indeed.
Yes. And also Shakespeare for Kids, July 25th through August 4th. And, of course, the Lenny Willpower Tour goes in October and November.
Right out
which
in
is
fall.
So important to our school system and the children who don't really get to see Shakespeare.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. And there are a couple one-offers, as we call them in Ireland. and we're very glad to see them. With The Great Divorce, based on the novel by C.S. Lewis, Anthony Lawton is doing the one-person show. Is that correct?
That's yes. right. Yeah. Right.
And, of course, there's one night only of bootleg famous to Broadway and beyond.
Dan Dominick, yes. Dan Dominick, who played
Che in Evita last year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And was fantastic and was an audience favorite.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He had a following.
Absolutely. Yeah, he like let us take over his Twitter feed one day, and it was very exciting. So often we'll do this with an artist who's been with us in one season if we discover that they have an evening's worth of material that we think our audience would love. We'll invite them back for a one-nighter, and we do two of those a year typically now.
It's interesting to me that it seems when I look at it, from directors to the folks that come back and do the one-nighters, without it ever getting stasis or stagnant, you're growing this essentially this PSF family ensemble
in
many ways. And that's lovely for the audience, too. We come back and see new faces and new material, but we're also revisiting and touching base with something that feels like a continuity, a thread that has become part of our experience.
And that goes back to our founder, Father Jerry Schubert. He, you know, visited a lot of Shakespeare festivals and found that the ones that had a kind of a company, and ours is a kind of quasi-company, the work is elevated in a way because people develop a shorthand with each other mm-hmm. and keep each other fresh. And also, as you said, the kind of fresh blood also, you know, every year we have new artists coming in, and this year is a great example of that. It creates a dynamism and yet a kind of a grounding mm-hmm. for the company mm-hmm. in a nice balance.
Well, it's such a great season, and I'm just curious, Dennis, do you actually get to argue with Patrick about who's going to direct what?
argue. That's a very.
No, well, so I mean, I'm imagining that Africa would like to do the same thing that Dennis is doing.
No, it's funny. We actually probably dialogue more about, you know, what the choices of plays are.
Yeah. Than, yes. Right. Oh, good. Oh, good.
And, you know, we take a lot of pride in trying to, you know, put the right director with the right piece and the mm-hmm. right design team together. Right. And we're very careful about that. And I think, you know, we're super careful, you know, I think more than many professional theaters about casting. Mm. I think we really go the distance and search out the best people, you know, for these productions. I know I saw probably over 750 actors for Ragtime
wow.
Since January.
Amazing. Wow.
And the differences that come up between us are actually a great benefit to the festival because we don't, if we're agreeing on everything, we don't right. need two of us other than to just get the work done. And so when we both see something the same way, there's a really high level of confidence between us that that's going to work between the two of us.
Great. We've been chatting with producing artistic director Patrick Mulcahy and artistic associate director Dennis Razzi about the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival this year. Thank you very much, Patrick and Dennis. We look forward, really, to being with you on our show here on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon and also for this spectacular season. This is George Miller and Kate Scuffle for Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. Special thanks to Neil Heaver, our technical engineer and operations director here at WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, where you will always have many choices, real voices.